It's going to save your loved one. It's going to heal your sick body. It's going to restore your marriage. God is about to do something epic. Are you ready for it, though? Are you ready for something epic? You ready for something epic? Are you sure you're ready for something epic? Are you sure you're ready for something epic? Are you sure you're ready for something epic? Fire! Something epic. See, I had my flat shoes on in the back, but then I decided to be cute and put on my heels. And the Lord just took them right on back off my feet, because there's not going to be no build up from cute to fire. There's not going to be no build up from cute to fire. Come here, Keisha. God's getting ready to do something epic. Epic. What people don't know you praying for, because you're always smiling and you're always encouraging people, but you got your own thoughts about some stuff that's not on Facebook. And God hears and sees that. Something epic. Something epic. Something epic. Something epic. I reverse some things in your body right now in the name of Jesus. The enemy wants to bring an illness in your body, but he is cursed. He is cursed. It will never take root. It will never take root. It will never take root. He's about to do something epic. 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 Like you haven't seen. Like you haven't heard. Fire is about to fall. Do you have an epic need? Do you have an epic need? I got a scripture. I do. But I hear God saying there's some work on this altar this morning. If you have an epic thing that you are believing God for, get down here right now. Get down here right now. An epic thing. Get down here right now. Epic. Epic. Something that is related to Jesus and his heroism on the cross. What did he die for on that cross? Your healing, your forgiveness, your financial issues, your fears, every single thing that the enemy has brought into this world as a result of sin. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, to destroy the work of the enemy. Oh my God. I don't care if you brought it on yourself. Did you hear what I said? I don't care if you brought it on yourself. Sometimes we hide back, we hang back from God because we have brought something on ourselves. And we feel like, I just got to deal with it. I just got to have to put up with it. I brought this on myself. God's mercy is everlasting. His blood knows no stop. There's no dam that can be built to stop the flow of the blood of Jesus. So I don't care if you did it to yourself. Bring it to the altar and let God do something about it. Where are my elders? Where are my elders? Where are my ministers? Minister Glenn, where are you? Where are my elders? I want you to get out here and start ministering to some people. I'm still going to preach. I'm still going to preach. But I need y'all to worship while we lay hands on these people. This is what God said he wanted to do today. He's preparing you for something epic. He's preparing you to receive something epic. He's preparing you to receive something epic. He's preparing you. Oh, God. He's preparing you. He's preparing you. Oh, come on. Oh, I bind the damage. I bind the damage. Yeah, you did it to yourself. But God died for that reason. And I bind the damage that's trying to linger all these years after that addiction. Damage. I curse it now. In the name of Jesus. Heal entirely. Heal entirely. In the name of Jesus. Who is down here? You did it to yourself. Raise your hand. Be honest. You're dealing with something and you brought it on yourself to some extent. I need to see that hand. I need to see that hand. Push to the front. You brought it on yourself to some extent. Baby, I'm not trying to shame you. I done brought some stuff on myself in this life. But God has been faithful. He has been faithful. He has been faithful to meet me in the mess I made. He died for me before I made the mess. He died for me before I made the choice. Before I got in the mess, he died for me. Raise it now. Where are you? Raise it now. You did it on, you feel like I did this to myself? God, give her mercy. mercy, mercy, mercy. Don't you run now from it, though. Don't you run. You stand in the faith of it. God's going to give you mercy. You stand in the faith of it. As a woman of God, he has given you mercy. He's giving you mercy. 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 Oh, yes. We come boldly before the throne of grace that we might receive mercy. Oh, we thank you, God. Reverse the damage. Reverse the damage. Where else? Where else? Where else? Come here. Come here. Reverse the damage. Oh, some of your stuff, you didn't even, you think you did it on purpose, but you were just broken, sweetie. Just broken, sweetie. But God is looking to heal you. That was just you acting out of a broken place. But God is going to heal you. Turn your life over to him like you have never done before. Look at me. I don't care what changes you have to make. I don't care. It's going to feel like you're flipping over tables and snatching tablecloths and dishes are flying. I don't care. It's going to seem so dramatic. But God said, do whatever you have to do to reverse the situation that you're in, because God did not call you to do what it is that is done. And so God wants you to reverse that thing, and he's going to change your whole life as a result. It's going to take courage, but trust God. His word is true. Don't compromise it. Don't compromise it. Don't compromise it. There's an anointing on your life. God has something special for your life. He's going to heal every past broken thing. If you do this one radical act of obedience, he's going to change it. He's going to change it. He's going to change it. Oh, Rabba Shunderete. Get it for yourself. I can't lay hands on every single person down here, but you get it for yourself. Come on, Trina, worship. Let me hear it. Let me hear it.
Hallelujah, Father.
God said you have officially worked as hard as you could. You have done everything you knew to do. You've done everything you knew to do. You have done it. You have laid in that prayer closet. You have done everything you knew to do. God has said, I'm picking it up from here. I'm picking it up from here. You have prayed for them. You have fasted for them. You have called them, chased them down. And your heart has been broken so much at times. But your heart for the ones that you love, for your children, for every word that you have called out in private, everything you have prophesied over them in private. The secret prayer. The secret prayer. God said, now it's on me. I got it from here. You walk like it's done. Release the emotional burden. Jesus has got it from here. From here. From here. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. God said he's got it from here. 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 Father, the grief. The grief. Oh, God, this grief. This grief is like a clog. It's like a clog stopping up your gifts. Oh, Sekabababoshata. This grief, I call it out now in the name of Jesus. I call it out now. You will not grieve beyond what is natural. The enemy is trying to use this grief as an end to disrupt your development and to stunt your gift. But he has been found out, called out, and cast out in the name of Jesus. He is a liar. And you will fulfill all. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Cry aloud and spare not. Cry aloud and spare not. God is healing in the name of Jesus. He's healing. It wasn't just the loss of the life. It was all that went before it. And it's coming now. It seems like it's falling on you like a wave. All those bad experiences. But God is unclogging that thing now in the name of Jesus. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Grief, grief. I curse the pain of grief now in the name of Jesus. I call it off, people, now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you're not being prayed for, you should be worshiping. You should be getting yours. Oh, God, we thank you for it. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 you've always been seen. He sees you. You're not invisible to God. He does see you. He does see you. He does see you. And there were some things you believed for a long time, and you thought, if those things just come through, I'll be okay. But that nagging other feeling is still trying to take over your life. But I curse it in the name of Jesus. I bind depression from the very root. I bind depression from its very root. I curse it in her genetics. I curse that imbalance in her brain chemistry. Father God, we speak healing. Yes, we believe in therapy, and we thank you, God. Therapy is a strategy, but prayer is a weapon. And I'm praying right now in the mighty name of Jesus, that it is broken. From her childhood trauma to this moment, we reverse it now. We reverse it now. Yes, go to therapy. Yes, go to a doctor. You need those strategies, but prayer is a weapon. 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 Yes, yeah. You've been asking God, give me some of her spirit. Give me some of her spirit. Take the first wave now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The anointing of God on my life. Let it be spread onto this spiritual daughter now in the name of Jesus. Give her wisdom, Father, to absorb it. Don't let it scare her, Father, when it rises up. And give it to her. Fill her all over again with the Holy Ghost. Fresh language. In the name of Jesus. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. I would say I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. If we don't get a word on it, sorry, not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. God, this man of God. Oh, today, the last threads, the last shreds of the boy is gone. The last shreds of the boy are being untangled today. The last threads are being untangled today. I thank you, God, for his business ideas. I thank you for his entrepreneurial spirit. But now, God, give him wisdom as you make space for the anointing of God on his life. It's gonna challenge some of the business that you're doing. It's gonna challenge some of the business that you're doing. It's going to challenge some of the business, the amount of time even that you spend, what God is calling you to do. But don't you be afraid of what God's calling you to do. He's going to continue to give you wisdom. He's going to continue to allow you to provide. He's not going to take away those dreams, but he has a call on your life that is higher, and it's going to take away from some of that. But I call it out of his belly now that he will not be able to resist. Oh, God, he will not be able to resist the call to preach your word. He won't be able to resist it. Strengthen his wife to walk by his side. Strengthen his wife. Give them wisdom. Wisdom and submission. Wisdom and submission. Wisdom in submission. And don't you let anybody talk you into getting out from under the cover of this house. Don't you let anybody tell you no lie. Don't you move. It will be dangerous for you. Don't you move out from under this cover. It has what you need. Don't you move. You're not stagnant. Don't move. God is getting ready to do something in your life. It's going to be epic, but you need this cover. You need this cover. I say that in complete love and in the power of the Holy Ghost. I ain't scared of losing no member. I'm telling you what God said. You need this cover. Don't move. People will try to lure you away with offers of positions. Don't you move. My God, don't you move. Father, enough. 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 Yeah, God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is there somebody who wants hands laid and they haven't had their hands laid on them yet? Raise your hand. And between me and these elders, we're going to get there. Between me and these elders, we're going to get there. Father God. Father God. Father God. It's enough sorries now. Sometimes we're just like, Lord, I really am sorry. But God forgives us and we need to forgive ourselves. Hallelujah. God, I thank you for doing something epic in his life. In the name of Jesus, it's rushing in like the mighty rushing wind that filled those with the Holy Ghost in the upper room. God, I thank you that it's flowing right now into his life with power, with force. In the mighty name of Jesus, change this man's life. I thank you for how it's going to reverberate through his entire family. In the name of Jesus, generations have just been changed as a result of what you're doing in his life. And we receive it now and we claim every generation for you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, be settled. Just be settled. Just be settled. Just be settled. It's time for the Lord. If you don't never, I'm going to love you anyway. Lord, if you don't never, I'm going to love you anyway. Lord, if you never, I'm going to love you anyway. If you don't never hear that cry, I'm going to love you anyway. I'll understand it when I get to heaven if I have to, but I'm going to love you anyway. Don't you let the enemy cause you to threaten your own walk with God because of confusion about what you think he is or is not doing. It's time to give him the if you never love. It'll change everything. 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 Lift your hands before the Lord. It'll change everything. Oh, God.
I want to love you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Set a fire.
Set a fire down in
Hallelujah.
My soul that I can't
Hallelujah.
Contain.
This is the word that the Lord gave me today, and then I'm going to come back down and I'm going to pray for some more people. I know y'all's feet are, y'all can sit down right there if you want to. I know your feet hurt and kick off a shoe. But if you still want to lay hands on you, stay there. I'm going to do it. But the word that the Lord put in my heart today was regarding the prophet Elijah. Now, I need some people who know their Bible, so I don't have to give you a whole lot of background information. But we know that the children of Israel had priests, and they had God to follow. But they had caught an attitude at one point. They wanted to have a king like everybody else in the world. And so the Lord gave them what they asked for. They said, fine, you want a king? God gave them a king. How many times have we asked God and begged God for something? He gave it to us. And then we was like, maybe that wasn't really, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. So 7 generations later, we got Ahab, and he's an evil king. He's an evil king, and he hates the prophets of God because he doesn't like the truth. Some of y'all don't like the truth. You hate the prophets of God when they come to tell you the truth. Some of you hide. You see this prophetic anointing start flowing, and you went to the back instead of the front because you don't want me to see you, and you don't want me to know. But I declare that it would be wisdom for you to strip off all your spiritual clothes and say, God, let her see me. I want you to see me. I want to be fixed. Come here. Oh, the woman of God you called. There's yet another level of development for that. A spoken thing. The fire. Fire fall in the name of Jesus. Fire fall. And so, yeah, so Ahab had an attitude. He didn't like the prophets of God. And then he was married to Jezebel. And she hated the prophets of God even more than Ahab hated the prophets of God. And so the prophets had been hiding out. One of the prophets took a whole bunch of 100 of the other ones and was hiding them in caves and feeding them with bread and water because that was all that they had, because Elijah had told King Ahab, it's not going to rain for 3 years in this land because of your disobedience to God. And so Elijah been hiding out too, but he been hiding out in a 4-star hotel. God was feeding him by brooks, and then he had a widow woman feeding him. He wasn't in the cave like the other prophets. He was hiding out in luxury. He was at the 4-star hideout. But then the brook dried up, and he sent him to the woman's house to get a cake, and then that ran out. And then God told him, look, go to Ahab and tell him it's going to rain. Show yourself to Ahab and tell him it's going to rain. And y'all still with me? Y'all still with me? If your feet get tired, you can sit on the front row, and I'll come back and get you. But if you're all right and you're waiting for something to fall on you, I suggest you stay where you are. And so then he said, well, I'm going to go tell him. Okay, God, if you tell me to go tell him, I'm going to go tell him. So Elijah gets up and he's on his way to tell Ahab that rain is going to come. But he runs into the prophet, another prophet on the way. And that prophet says, Elijah, is that you? And he said, yeah, it's me. He's like, where you been, man? You've been hiding good. Because Ahab's been going all over the place asking, where's Elijah? Where's Elijah? Where's Elijah? And when they didn't know, he was like, if I find out you knew and you didn't tell me, I'm coming back to kill you. And so he was out there, and Elijah was just chilling, being kept by God. And so Obadiah said to him, well, what you want me to do? He said, go tell Ahab you saw me. He said, oh, no. No, no, because if I tell Ahab that I saw you, he's going to kill me. Because he's going to come for you, and God's going to protect you. You ain't going to be here. And then when he come and you ain't here, he's going to cut my throat. How many times have God told us to do something, but we start following it through to the end? God, if I'm obedient to you, then that means this. God, if I'm obedient to you, maybe I'll never get married. God, if I'm obedient to you, do I have to spend my whole life in this unhappy marriage? God, if I'm obedient to you, am I stuck with this job? God, if I'm obedient to you, will I pay my tithes and be broke? We have followed out to the end. Oh, I don't want to do that. But you better be obedient to what God said you need to do. There is too much risk in disobedience. And so he's telling him, be obedient, be obedient, be obedient, be obedient, be obedient in the name of Jesus. Obedience, obedience, obedience. I ain't talking about no sin. I'm talking about a big move. Don't y'all get crazy. I ain't talking about no sin in her life. I'm talking about moves that God has. And sometimes it seems like, well, God, I take these big leaps, and then what? I take these big leaps, and then what? But these are going to be small steps. You're so used to believing God for it. But God's about to tell you. And there's frustration in that. There's frustration in those small steps. It's the frustration of the frustration nature, that low frustration tolerance that he's coming for. So he's giving you these. And they are ordered steps, but they're baby steps. And we don't like baby steps. We like the big, mother may I say, we like the big ones. We don't like the baby steps. But God has a series of baby steps that are going to add up to an epic change in your life. And if you will just, to where he's leading you, the dream that you have is coming true, and the relationship that you want, God has for you. God has for you. God has for you. God has for you. Nudge steps and don't get out of line. God has it for you. And so, see, obedience is hard sometimes, because when we play the tape out, we base our judgment on what we see. But Hebrews 11 tells me that we know that what we see was not made from what was seen, but what was not seen. So we have to look at what's not seen when we calculate. We don't look at what was seen. Our faith should be about what is invisible. Hebrews 11 said that we understood by faith. Not just that we had faith. Not just that we believed, but we understood by faith. It was actually our basis to lead our logic. Faith is logical. And you want to understand by faith. And so anyway, finally he convinces the prophet to go. He said, look, man, I promise. You go tell Ahab I'm here. I'm not going to move. I will show myself to him. And so he took the risk and he did it. And Ahab came down. And Ahab said, why are you causing trouble? Because he blamed him for the famine. He said, that's trouble. It's not on me, bro. You have done wrong before the Lord and brought this curse on us. But it was also on Israel for begging God for a king in the first place. But even if you brought it on yourself, God has deliverance for you. The devil loves to goad us with what we feel like we brought on ourselves. I mean, he will wear us out all day long with what we feel like we brought on ourselves. But God knew we would do this foolish things. That's why he died for it, had Jesus died for us in the first place. So anyway, Elijah says, no, we're going to be good. But now, I don't see where God told Elijah this up front. He just said, go tell Ahab it's going to rain. But I don't know if God spoke to Elijah in the moment or he just felt like showing out. But just to make sure that Ahab understood that it really was his fault, he said, go gather all the prophets of Baal you can find. Bring them all out here. We're going to have a duel of sorts. And so they brought all these prophets out, and they gave the prophets an animal to sacrifice, and they built it on their altar. And he said, whoever God calls down fire is the true God. And he looked at the people of Israel, and he said, how long will you be of two opinions? How long will you be of two opinions about yourself? How long will you be of two opinions about what God's going to do in your life? How long will you be of two opinions about your marriage? How long will you be of two opinions about your finances? Always trying to have a backup plan and a plan B just in case. How long will you be of two opinions? We spend a lot of time on two opinions. And so he said, well, I'm going to help you with these two opinions. And so he waited there all day long while those prophets danced and called God and tried to get something to happen. Nothing. They were so upset with what might be the failure of your God, they started to cut themselves. Some of you know what that's like, to feel so far from God, you're cutting your own self. To be in so much pain, you've cut your own self. Let me tell you, when I say everything is in the Word, everything is in the Word. There's nothing new. Because where peace was being sought was failing, they began to attack their own bodies in the absence of that peace. And he let them go all day until they were collapsed. And then he not just built the altar of God, he rebuilt it. He rebuilt the altar of God. That's a challenge for many of you. You need to rebuild your altar. You need to rebuild your altar. It done went into some disrepair. There's some cracks in the stone. A little bit of it done fell off on the backside, and it's not sturdy like it used to be. You haven't cared for it, and you need to rebuild it. We were talking about this in engagement class today. When our emotional pain gets in the way, we start changing up on how we really believe God. Without the word. Well, I don't know, but I know God didn't call me to go through all this. Get me a scripture. I'm going to need one. And you start tripping away at the altar because you can't reconcile what God's calling you to do with how you feel. I'm not minimizing how you feel. I've been there. But you aren't always going to be able to reconcile what God says to do with how you feel. I don't care what the culture is saying. I don't care if the culture say it's all right to do this and it's all right to do that. And we passed the law for this and we passed the law for that. And oh, I just let him move in with me because he didn't have no place to stay. And I don't smoke that many cigarettes. I just smoked it because this weed one time because I was really stressed out. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Holiness is still right. And we've allowed our altars to get weak because it's not a popular message. But that's okay. Mama here today, it's just this one Sunday. I'm going to just go ahead and have a fit. We still got to live right, no matter how hard it is. We got to live right. And no, we won't be perfect. But I declare, I want to go down trying so hard. Hebrews 12 says that you have not yet resisted unto blood against sin. And since the Bible can't be changed, it's still true. You haven't fell out on the floor and hollered so loud, Jesus, help me, till blood popped out your eyeball. You already sinned at that point. You didn't even fight it that hard. We got to fight a little harder. We got to fight a little harder. God, bring conviction back to all of us. God, bring conviction back to all of us. The areas of our heart, my heart, every heart that has seared over because they've done the same mess so long, it doesn't even bother me anymore. God, take these stone hearts out and put flesh hearts in their chest. God, let us feel your pain again. Because we don't even feel bad no more. We don't even realize your presence have left us. Because you might still use us. But that don't mean you haven't left us. God, don't leave me. God, don't leave me. God, put flesh hearts back into all of us in every area. Bring conviction back. Hallelujah. And so he's rebuilding that altar. That's how you rebuild that altar. Even when you don't feel repentance, but you know what the words say. You say, God, let me feel this again. Let me care about what you care about. I don't want to fix it, but I want to fix it. I want to fix it. You say it as long as you have to, but God, I want to fix it. Because there's nothing else without that. And so he rebuilt the altar of God. Some of you need to do that when you go home today. You had a prayer space in your house, but you fell away from it. And now sometimes it's a little easier to pray with one eye open in the bed in the morning. I ain't judging. I done did it sometime myself. I got to get back more time in my dedicated space. How many people? More time in your dedicated space. More time in your dedicated space. Yes, talk to God all the time. I talk to God 24/7. I'm always talking. But that's still dedicated place. Rebuild your altars. Go home today. Rebuild your altar. So he rebuilt the altar, and then he put the animal on top of the altar. And then, just to show how epic God is, he poured barrels of water on top of it. And how are you going to light something on fire that's soaking wet? He got wood on there and sticks soaking wet. And where he got all that water in a 3-year drought, that's another word. But he poured water all over the thing and stood back. And he called on God. He didn't call all day long. He didn't call for an hour. He called on God. And the fire of God that the Baal prophets had been calling for all day long. The fire of Jehovah came down and burned up everything. The stones, the wet sticks, the animal, the bull, everything was consumed. The fire of God burned up everything consumable. And that is my prayer for you today, that the fire of God will fall upon you when you have ceased being of two opinions and you have rebuilt his altar, that the fire of God will fall upon you and consume everything consumable. That is the beginning of epic. My God, pastor's going to preach about epic all month, but I need you to get ready. I need you to go ahead and let the fire of God come down and consume everything consumable so that there is space made for the epic move that's coming into your life. It is not something you have even really thought about. It's beyond what you think. And I'm not talking about where you fantasize, where you really think is possible. Because sometimes we'll be like, well, I can think of a whole bunch of stuff. But you don't really believe in your gut that that fantasy level is true. But what you really think, you're asking for too little. You're not asking for enough. You are not asking for enough. In fact, you have lowered your ask. Because of the delay, you felt like it was too much. So you lowered your ask. Now you're headed into, well, God, if maybe, just this once, I'll at least have this for this little bit of time. You don't have to lower your bar, and you don't have to compromise. All you have to do is be open to it showing up in the magnitude that you desire, but in a different look than you desire. See, sometimes we get a sense of the magnitude of what God wants to do, but then we want it to look a certain way, and we're so busy watching the door we expect it to come out of that we're about to miss what God actually wants to do. So the magnitude you're believing God for is accurate, but the shape of how it will show up is where you're missing it. So do not lower your bar on magnitude, but open your mind and spirit latitude wise. Open wide. Jesus. God, surprise her. Surprise her. Glory to God. How many people are ready for the fire of God to fall and consume? I need you to make three decisions. I need you to stop being of two opinions. I need you to determine that you will rebuild the altar of God. And that includes straightening out how you live, not just out in public, not on social media, but at home. When we can't see you, what's going on? Y'all have heard me say so many times, one, the main reason my respect for my husband is so great is that he is everything and you see at home. At home, when y'all are not watching, he is that. So you have that. I strive for that as well. I want to be who you think I am. That is my number one goal. And so you have two pastors, leaders, committed to that. And that's not at every church. I ain't saying we better than nobody. I'm just saying we are trying always to be what we believe God has for you to be. And I want to do the fight so I can tell you with certainty that you can win. I want to deal with the battle so I can tell you with certainty that you can win. I've gotten up off my bed of depression. I'll fight off that anxiety because when I want it, let it consume me. I say, no, God. I want to be able to tell the saints of God they can win. And if I lay here and lose, what word can I carry? Jason, you're a winner. You're a winner. You're a winner. Pastor, you're a winner. You're a winner. If you could see the magnitude of what God has for you swirling around you, I see it like it's like a tornado, but it's not dangerous. I don't know how else to explain it, but it's like just this wind is whipping around you, and God has so much for you to do. And don't you push your arms and press it away. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it to please anybody. Don't you do it based on what you think you deserve. Don't you do it. You stand up and be the man of God that he made you. I don't care what else is evidence there is. I don't care what else people think. You stand up and be it. That's it. Once and for all, we're done. We're done. God has a call on you. And Pastor Dave, Pastor Jason, Minister Sonia, God has such a great call on you. Don't push anything away. And don't let it be that I just got to get this together. I got to get that together. Don't worry about it. Trust me. He'll fix us on the way. He'll fix us on the way. You know how I know? Because I was in the back this morning having a fit because I said, Lord, you still haven't told me what to say. You still hadn't told me what to say 5 minutes before I walked out here. I said, God, when are you going to tell me? Now you're cutting it kind of close. I feel you, but this is getting a little extra. He's what I'm saying. But you know what I did? I stood in that ready room and I said, I called down fire. Because we have to stop thinking about it, getting caught up in our own mind. I stood up in that room and said, I curse the thoughts in my own mind that I might not know what to say. I call down fire. God is trying to teach me something, so I'm up to learning it. You got to be willing to go all the way to that point. I'm willing to go so that you'll go. Call down fire. Consume everything consumable. Baltimore City needs us. Baltimore City needs us. Baltimore City needs this house. As we continue to call the spirit of murder off this city, Baltimore City needs this house. As we continue to be powerful enough, because we don't just fast during the church fast, but we live a fasted life so that we can curse witchcraft. When you drive down the street, any place in this city, I want you speaking life. Life to this corner. Life to that corner. Life to this corner. Every person you see, God save their life. Bullet miss him. God save him. God cover them. I call life into these streets. Everywhere you go, you so caught up in your worship music, trying to get your need met. Oh, God, I thank you. No, life to them. Life to you. Life to you. Life to you. Don't get all... That selfish prayer has to be consumed on this altar. It was when Job started praying for his friends. And some of you have suffered some losses so great you've been praying hard for yourself. But when Job started praying for his friends, let God make you an intercessor on that. Call every name you know and don't know. Cursed in everybody else's life. God, make me an intercessor. I'm going to be in this kind of pain. Use it for something good. You see, Paul had that thorn in his side. God said his grace was sufficient. But what we often miss is the fact that the thorn was there because of the great revelation that God wanted to give Paul. And so if you're living with a thorn, make sure you get your revelation. If that thorn is to keep you humble for your epic thing, don't get so focused on the thorn that you don't get your epic thing. So God, if I'm gonna live in this pain, I want my epic thing. I don't just need the grace to survive the thorn. I want my epic thing. God, give him revelation in the name of Jesus. And intercession, the spirit of intercession, fall on him now in the name of Jesus, that he cries in the middle of the night. Show him faces to pray for, names to pray for, and give him wisdom, God, on how to hold it confidentially as he prays it through. In the name of Jesus. Oh, my God. I'm done. I'm coming to pray. But I need you to do these things. Stop being of two opinions. Rebuild the altar of God. Call down fire for your epic thing. Amen. Is that enough preach for you today? All right, good. Can y'all worship, bring the presence of God right on back up in here? I'm going to lay hands on everybody who wants hands laid on them. It's 11:58, so we can do that. Stay, pray, receive. We're going to dismiss together, but let me lay hands on those who need it in the name of Jesus.
What our hearts long to be overcome by your presence. Your presence, Lord.
tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
Let us become.
experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. 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 The glory of your goodness.
Shame is under.
free, and my shame is undone.
Your presence, Lord, I've tasted and seen.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. My heart becomes free, and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord,
I've tasted and seen. I've tasted
and seen of the sweetest of love. Becomes free, and my shame is.
Thank you for every decision that has been made to be of one opinion. I thank you for every decision that has been made to rebuild the altar in their lives, an altar to you. I thank you that fire is falling to burn up everything consumable. God, prepare us for the epic move that is coming into each individual life under the sound of my voice. We receive it now in the name of Jesus. God, don't let them rest. Let the fire go ahead of them and meet them at home. Let the fire go ahead of them and meet them at work. Father God, don't let a single soul be the same. Give them the bravery that they need to receive epic in the mighty name of Jesus till we meet in this place again. Amen and amen.